Thank you, Cody. We appreciate it. If you have your Bibles with you, take and open them up. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's some in the pew. You're welcome to them. Open them up to the book of John. Book of John. In the 16th chapter. John in the 16th chapter. Most of y'all were probably had a mama like mine. When you were a youngster, she'd always tell you, stand up straight, sit up straight. Got to have good posture. Okay? And you need to have those shoulders back, chest out. Those of you in the military, they taught you that was standing at attention, see? Same thing your mama taught you, have good posture. Well, we also have a heart posture. You ever thought about that? We should have a heart posture when we come before the Lord. We know that Satan, biggest problem that, and we as people today for the same thing because of sin, that his posture was about pride. And God abhors a proud. He abhors that pride of thinking that we can do it all on our own, or we put things before him that we place more importance on than what he has. And a lot of times people come and they will say, well, I've been reading my Bible, I don't understand it, and I try to look at the web, and I look at dictionaries, and I look at different translations, and I do all these things. How do I understand it better? That leads into heart posture. See, the posture is we're trying to understand it, not allowing him to feed us. So this morning we want to talk about our heart posture. John chapter 16, invite you to stand if you're able to honor the reading of God's word. Our Lord is speaking here to the disciples. He's explained to them in the earlier part of this chapter that he is going to be going away, and obviously that created with them a lot of sorrow, but he reminds them that it is important for him to go away in order for us to be able to have the Holy Spirit, and that he is our guide and he is our comforter. So we'll drop into chapter 16, beginning here in verse 12. John chapter 16 and verse 12. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. You may be seated. I started this service this morning. I said, I hope that you have great expectations of what God has for us this morning. Well, it's not only about when we come to a service. What is it that you expect when you go to him in prayer, or you go to open his word and begin reading his word to study it? He tells us that we are to meditate on his word day and night. He also tells us in Psalms through David that a man who does that, who meditates on the word, is happy and he is blessed in many different ways. How true that is, but how do we get to that point that we're meditating? Paul says that we should pray without ceasing. And many times I've said it doesn't mean we walk around with our head bowed, but it means about our heart posture, that we are in communication. And that a lot of times people are, you ask them to pray and they go, well, I don't pray in public. And sometimes I'm asked, well, you preach out there at the Cowboy Church? Yeah. I said, we'd like for you to do a prayer. We've written out what we want you to pray. You need to go pick somebody else. I'll be real honest. I do not do written prayers. That's not glorifying me. But I'm talking to my best friend. When you talk to your best friend, do you have to have a script? You open up and tell them what's on your mind. Even though sometimes you figure they're not going to like what's on your mind, you tell them anyway. And they tell you what's on their mind. That's how you cease to be best friends, you see. No, if it's true friends, you can disagree and still get along. But it's the posture in which we do that with. Especially when you have to deliver news that you know the recipient is not going to be pleased about hearing. Nobody likes to be told what they're doing is wrong. As in, on the reverse side of that, no employer wants to be able to go and tell an employee that he's wrong and therefore he's either got days off or you're terminating his employment. That's not an enjoyable thing. I'm amazed at the preachers that don't want to read Revelation. They goes, that scares people. Man, I hope it scares the hell right out of them. Because that's what it's talking about. You understand, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Because it's not where you want to go. But yet we know the posture of his heart was fully obedient. So it is not wrong for us to talk about the judgment of our Lord. Because it will take place. It is, for sure. No matter what people's expectations are of what death is, the reality is, as his word tells us, the instant we pass from this life, we are in the presence of the Lord. If we're his, he takes us in. If we're not, just as his word says, depart from me, I never knew you. If you believe in heaven, you have to believe in hell, despite what the world tells you. Here, Jesus explains to the disciples, because there's a lot going on. It's at the time before he is to be betrayed. We celebrated Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord. With that resurrection had to come the death. But the point was the fact that he did rise again, and his blood that was shed was for each one of us. The expectation of all that took place, Jesus had already told them. He said, you destroy this temple, talking about his body, his soul. He said, it'll resurrect again in 3 days. So the posture of his heart was in full belief of what the Father had told him. He wasn't any different than you and I. We saw that in the garden. He said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will. All of us have a posture, we call it attitude or whatever, based on past experiences, based on our perception, our raising, where we live, the culture of different things. All of those develop our posture, our attitudes, our perception, if you will. So what is your posture when you go before the Lord? Sometimes people tell me, and say, well, you know, I just had time enough to do a little quick prayer. I didn't have time to talk all the time. If it's somebody you enjoy really going to and talking with, as I said earlier, your best friend, time doesn't matter. I got a feller, and yeah, he and I have been through a whole lot together, and I can talk to him, and sometimes I look at the phone after we get through, and it's an hour and a half. I know, I got a mouth, but he out-talks me. I listen more to him than I can say that. That's why he always ran for political offices, see, he had that mouth. But it's true, and my expectation is when I call him, Even if I get his voicemail or what, I don't even have to leave a message. He's going to see that number, and I know I'm going to get a call back. He knows the same thing. I will call him back. He didn't have to leave a message to tell me who he was. I know that number. See, we have an expectation of those we come to. So what is our expectation of God? Why is it that we feel like I don't have time to really get into the details? Lord, you know it. And He does know it. I'm not saying He doesn't. But even if you and I know the details, don't you like sometimes that person to tell you about the details? So you're not assuming or guessing at things? Even if you do know, you enjoy just talking with them and hearing their voice, seeing, especially if they've had some type of tragedy or something, you want to hear how they're feeling. You can listen to that voice. Well, folks, God ain't no different. He enjoys hearing from me and you. He desires to hear you and I. And if it's important to us, it's important to Him. Look, you got a God that knows when even a sparrow falls to the ground, as Jesus said. Now, y'all think about that, because sparrows, for the most part, are useless. You can't eat them. Okay? They don't really make any music like a mockingbird or anything else. They're just there. They're one that God created, but yet He thinks enough of them to know when even one of them falls to the ground. How much more important are you and I to Him? He gave us a soul. He has a plan for our lives even before we're born. So what is our posture? How do we come to Him? We see several examples in the Bible about this posture. When we come, oftentimes, to people, and we just went through that period, and do not take this wrong, I'm not knocking them. It's not about what we do, it's about the heart we have about it. Several different denominations go through Lent. Maybe you did as well. And their deal is that I got to give up something, and I'm going to fast in Lent, and whatever it is that I'm going to deprive myself of, that makes me closer to God. But yet at the same time, it's about what they've deprived themselves, not about the Lord. See, no matter what we do, if we're doing it just to make us feel good, that ain't the right posture. The God posture is, Lord, I want to do whatever it is that you tell me to do to honor you. Sometimes people believe that, well, I can only really hear the Holy Spirit when I go to church. Well, I hope you hear Him here too, but it's more important you hear Him when you're not here. You see, in this room, we have other believers. It's easy to say, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, I believe He lives. Yes, He is our Savior. Yes, all the... But what's it like out in the world? When you talk about Christ, and Joni, that fellow you talk to says, I don't believe there's any God. How can you say that? Look at all the killings going on. Now we got to fight it. Now we got to prove what we say. We got hundreds of peoples coming in for this eclipse. Oh, it's just a phenomenon. No, God designed it that way. Science proves up what God says and how He set them into orbit. And yes, this happens ever so often. I'm always amazed at the people want to say, look at the climate change and what we're doing to it. Well, I have no doubt we probably have an impact. I'm not saying that. But I can also assure you that this earth was here long before you and I showed up, and will be here long after you and I leave. It will be here until God takes it out. God spoke it in, God takes it out. And really, it doesn't matter what you and I do. We're to be good stewards, I agree to that. But even science has proven all of this ecological stuff they want us to do, that it only takes like 0.1% that it affects the entire climate. Amazing. I'm also amazed here, and this is a ranching community. Suddenly we have environmentalists that say, oh, this is a protected species now, and so they don't allow you to kill it. But now we're getting overrun with those what they have. Amazing, isn't it? The wolf could not be killed up in Montana and Idaho. And now they don't know what to do because there's so many that's killing all the other livestock and things. You see, what we try to tamper with that God's already perfected, we show our ignorance, not our smart. And our posture when we come before the Lord is the same. We come with an expectation of what He has. And that's kind of like when you and I were a kid with Christmas. We got to wait. Sometimes God answers immediately, and other times He gives us time there to really think about what we're asking for. And I've come to learn that He gives us that time to think about it because what we're asking for, He already knows is not the right thing. So He lets us ponder on that a little bit. And generally, if we seek Him, just like His word says, if you seek me, you'll find me. We find out that, hey, Lord, sure glad you didn't answer that. Boy, that would have been a terrible side effect. You go, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I'll give you an example. Back when I was a lot younger, before I met my wife, there's an old gal, boy, I thought she just hung in the moon. And I dated her a little bit, but she ended up marrying somebody else. I seen that feller after they were married a few years. He said, buddy, what you saw on the surface ain't nothing like living with that woman. Thank you, Lord. And I'm sure some of you gals can probably say the same thing. Scripture shows us. I'll give you an example about, we say we're wanting to worship God. Our posture is that, or at least that's what our mouth says, but our heart is not postured in the right place. You want to look into 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Now the Israelite people have followed that God has taken them through the wilderness and they're on their way to the promised land. And they are having to fight different people as God instructs them. But there comes a point, God has given them the Ark of the Covenant. So I'm going to preface this. God gives them the Ark of the Covenant. But what happens is their focus becomes on having the Ark of the Covenant, not having God on their side. And in chapter 4 of 1 Samuel, it goes through that they have been fighting the Philistines. And what happens is they actually capture the Ark of the Covenant. And the people are devastated. They said, we no longer have the Ark. We no longer can win any battle, for God is not with us. And you can read in chapter 4 from verses 3 through 11. And that's what it tells you. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was recovered. And it says in verse 5 that it came into the camp. And all of Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. You see, oftentimes we have symbols of what God is, rather than realizing we don't, instead of the substitute, we got the real deal. That's the Holy Spirit. There's those who don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, because they go, ooh, that gets into that mystical, spooky stuff. No, it doesn't. The Spirit is part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And without that Holy Spirit, you and I can't know the Father and the Son. That's plain and simple. You see, when the Lord comes to us, it's not by our own choosing that we realize we need to have a Savior. It's not by our own desire that we suddenly jump up one day and go, you know what, I think I'm going to ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior so I can get saved and go to heaven. Nope. That's not it. The Holy Spirit's the one that convicts you and I that we need a Savior, that we have a spot within our body, within our soul, that literally desires to have the fellowship we were created to have. And that's a fellowship with God. One of the commercials of a preacher that I see sometimes, he says, God is looking for you. Are you searching for Him? Now, while I get where his meaning is, I disagree a little bit. God ain't looking for me. He knows right where I'm at. Thank goodness He knows where I'm at. Thank goodness He knew where I was at when I wasn't even looking for Him. If you don't know Him personally today, He knows where you are. But it is that wooing of the Holy Spirit that comes to you and I that creates in us a desire that we understand our sin, that we understand we are not perfect, that we understand we need to be redeemed in order to have a right heart and a right fellowship with Him. And the miraculous thing is His Holy Spirit does it in each one of us differently. There's men who devoted their whole lives to science that now say, everything I was doing was to disprove the Bible. The more I really dug into science, the more I tried to disprove it, the more I actually proved it. We talk about praise and prayer. We came with it, with a posture. Mike said, we're a praying church. And yes, grateful that each of you are in prayer, that each of us can bring whatever is concerning us of people that you and I may never meet. But we pray for them, and we have people outside of our church that call them. We know you are a praying church. Will you lift up so-and-so? My answer is we will. And then I want to hear back from you to know what God has done. See, it's always important for us to receive that back. That was Mike's point about being thankful that he's heard it. And this posture that the Israelites had was, we can't do anything without the Ark of the Covenant. Well, the ark was just a symbol of God. We see a lot of that in our world today. People pray to statues or to items that are not Jesus Christ. It's not going to be fulfilled, folks. The devil has deceived people that they can pray to the Virgin Mary, they can pray to saints, they can pray to these different things. That's not it. You pray to the one and true living God. That is the great I Am, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for you and I. He takes our garbledygook language, and even when we can't speak, He takes what the earnings of our heart is and He translates them before the throne of grace. He's the one that, as we read Scripture, we should always open it up with prayer. Oh Lord, as I read this, feed me, let me see and understand what You would have me to understand. See, that's a heart posture. Being humble, that He teaches. Oftentimes we go to our Scripture. Well, I hadn't read my Scripture this morning. I got to do that. It's not because I have to. My heart posture is because I desire it. Because I'm fed from it. We started the service. What expectations do you have? Did you come to hear the music? Did you come to have coffee? Did you come to have donuts? You come here just because that's what you're supposed to do and it's Sunday? Or did you come with a heart posture of, Lord, I want to hear from You today. I want You to feed my soul with when I walk away, I'm different than before I came. What was your expectation? What is your expectation when you come to Him in prayer? So we saw that the Israelites had an expectation that it had to be in the ark. You see, they want to limit God to this box. God's everywhere. He's with you and I all the time. Even if we don't know Him, He's with us. He created us. You know, I can drive around and look at different buildings or homes or substations, transmission line, and I can tell you exactly which ones I built and had a part of building and which ones I didn't. See, we keep track of those things that we do. God's no different. He keeps track of each one of us. Back in Luke chapter 9, I'll give you another example of a heart posture. And these are just examples, but they oftentimes describe what Jesus has shown us, exactly what takes in our place in our lives today. You see, there's not a single thing new today that isn't already in the book. They had chariots, we have cars, we have trucks. They had wagons that they hauled freight and all in. We have pickup trucks, we have 18-wheelers. Maybe the mode's a little different, but it's not anything new. It's all the same. They had wars, we have wars. They went and fought face to face with swords. We do it with bullets or we do it with bombs. It's still war. Nothing new underneath the sun. In Luke chapter 9, it describes here about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Jesus tells him in the first part of 9, it says in verse 3, he said, "Take nothing for the journey, neither staff nor bag, nor bread nor money, and do not have two tunics. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them." And so they depart. You continue down, it comes to where the apostles are with our Lord, and he has been teaching and preaching all day long. And in verse 13, he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes unless we go out and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. Now remember that they only counted the men. That ain't the women and the kids, the dogs and everybody else. Okay? So he said, then he said to the disciples, "Make them sit down in a group of 50. And they did so, and they sat down, and he took the 5 loaves, and he took the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke it. He blessed and he broke it after he gave thanks for what he had. It says he looked to heaven, looking up to heaven, he blessed it. He blessed it that God would intercede for as many people. He knew exactly how many people he had there, far more than 5,000. You continue reading that, it tells you that they distributed, and so that all were filled, and the 12 baskets left over of the fragments. Now let's go to where we're looking at today, the posture. He says these people are hungry and they haven't been fed all day. He said, "I want you to feed them." What was their posture? "Oh, Lord, that's impossible. We ain't got nothing but 5 loaves and 2 little old fish here. We seen old Mike, he can eat much more than that. And probably what's going to break out, Lord, is him and BC going to get in a fight. And while them two are fighting about it, old Donnie over here going to swipe him 5 loaves and them 2 fishes. He's gone." They had a posture that's impossible. "We can't do it." And they're right. They can't. Paul said it another way, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me." In Philippians 4:13. You see, they couldn't. And they thought it would be impossible, but Jesus' posture was, "I'm not doing it here. He's man on earth. I'm taking it to the Father." And he blessed it. And not only did they feed every one of them until they were satisfied, it says they had 12 baskets left over. See, when you and I eat food, we were taught as children that we should pray before we eat. Did you ever understand the reason behind that? You just read it. Not only are you being thankful, but you're praying that it nourishes your body, that it gives it the fuel it should have. Some of you in here have sugar issues. You understand if you don't eat, you start being kind of loopy, right? All of us, if we don't eat soon enough, is going to be tired. We're going to be grumpy. I know what some of you ladies are thinking. Oh, I need to cook for my husband a little bit more and make him quit being grumpy. That's what mine does. Have you eaten today? Are you getting grumpy? Yes, I've eaten. I'm just grumpy. Just because it want to be a different day. But you see, the expectation of Jesus was the Father would provide. Expectations of the disciples, just like the Israelites, we can't do it. We can't do it. Sometimes when you read Scripture, does it cross your mind? I just don't understand this. I just can't get what it's supposed to mean. That's the point for you and I to dig in deeper of going to the Holy Spirit. Lord, open it up. Let me see what you have for me in this verse. You may have to read it 10 times or more. But suddenly, somewhere during that day, God's going to reveal it. Had it happened. Later on that day, that scripture pops back in my head because some event, God not only spoke about it, he showed it to me. I get it, Lord. I get it. He opens it up. He allows you to see. Jesus said to watch all the signs and the things of times to come. You know, there's times that I see the prophecies being fulfilled and it excites me with great joy, and the next expectation is for the Lord to sound the trumpet. And there's other times it really saddens me that I understand why when Jesus looked at Jerusalem as he started to come in on the triumphal entry, he stood and he wept over Jerusalem because you realize how blind people are. You begin to see both sides of it. Just as our Lord did. You see, that's not my vision. That's the Holy Spirit's vision. When we talk about that he gives you a brand new heart when you accept him, you get new eyes to see. And those of you who do that and you utilize those eyes, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You see people in a different way. The little nitpicky stuff, you just kind of let it roll off and you go, that's just them. It's the way God made them. And only God can change them. Just like I'm there, he's the only one that can change me. And he's the only one that can change you. Oh, we can put up a facade. And we can do it different when we're in their presence. But when we're not, we go back to our same old way. And you see, that's why we come gathering and we study the Bible together and we have Bible study. We talk about it. So that we understand it, because each one of us are at a different point of growth. But the bottom line is you and I have to be willing to be taught. You and I have to invoke that guidance of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and open our understanding to see what God has in store for us. That's the expectation you and I must look for. Not to take our perception and twist what God is doing or how we think it should be, but be open to how he knows it should be. Because he can see so much further down that road of the future than you and I can. He knows exactly where every bit of it is. He knows how long each one of us is going to live. Whether it's young or with a great many years, he has a calendar just for you and I. And each one is different. So what is your posture when you come into his presence? What is your posture? Are you there to tell him? Are you there to hear and let Him heal? Let Him show you His ways. Let Him pour out the blessings He has for you. There's so much you and I miss because we flat just don't see it. Or we box Him in into a little box and say, these are the things that come before the Lord. Or do we just open up our whole lives? You see, that's what He wants and what He desires, is for you and I to open up. Let Him show us, not us show Him. No matter what it is we're doing, jobs, relationships, church, personal relationships, personal Bible study. It can come at great events when the church does it as a whole. But folks, it can also come individually each day. What is your expectation of Him? He expects you and I to be open so He can teach. What's our expectation? I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes.